Well, welcome to the Repos non-league roundup show, and we're here for the next hour, and because I know at least one person in front of me who wants to get off as quick as possible and watch, of course, Chelsea go to 3 points tonight. So I know he'll be desperate to get off. But of course, joining me as normal, of course, is Keith. And Keith, great win for you yesterday.
Saturday. Much needed. Yeah, like I said to you earlier, Dave, we worked our absolute socks off, and it's what we deserve. You know, that's such a poor manager Boyle. He's been working his absolute plums off in the last few weeks, trying to bring some players in because we've had some horrendous injuries and a few players leaving. Yeah, I think we've brought in about 9 players in 2 weeks, and they sort of settled down and got a great result. And I think anyone that watched social media would have seen the reaction from obviously the home team manager, which was quite interesting seeing it live as well. But it's what the club deserve, and hopefully we can pick another 3 points up at the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice, yeah. I was also joined as well, Steve Bitchenough, of course, the chairman of Hanworthy United. How are we, Steve?
Yeah, I'm good, David. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me back.
No worries at all. And of course, everybody just looks over to your right hand and sees the living legend himself, Mr. Stuart Fuller, of course, president. And is that what we're going to say now? President of Lewes Football Club, of course, Isthmian board member as well. But of course, the living legend is. And so he joins us. And nice to have you on, Stu.
Yeah, thanks, David. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, good to be on.
Good. I'd like to, if we can, I mean, before we go to the individual clubs, I mean, it's been a great weekend, FA Cup wise, and of course, the two Southern League clubs, unfortunately, Bracknell and against Cambridge, and of course, also as well. Chatham going out to, Chatham, I'm going to lose my Chertsey going out, of course, as well. So they went out. But with the actual Isthmian League, I mean, a great break for them, you know, at the weekend, of course, and three in the hat. So, I mean, as a board member, sure, I mean, you've got to be pleased.
Oh, absolutely ecstatic. I mean, they did brilliantly. Horsham were amazing on, you know, to go to Barnsley and score 3 times as well. And obviously they were a little bit hard done by in terms of the game having to be moved. So they fully deserve their opportunity in the next round. They're a good team. We still haven't played them yet. We should have played them a couple of weeks ago. That's been pushed back because of their cup exploits. But they're a good team. Cray Valley, fantastic performance. It's actually my local club down here, so they fully deserve their moment yesterday. And obviously Ramsgate as well. Ramsgate probably won't get the headlines as much as the others because they beat Woking. I was going to say only Woking, but it's still a team that's 3 divisions above them. So good luck to them, and they've got a good draw away at Wimbledon.
Yeah, of course, previous FA Cup winners. But Keith, that's got to be great, isn't it? Because it's right near you as well. Did you go?
No, I didn't go, Dave. I had a late lock-in at Phoenix, and we all watched it there after our kids' game. That was planned. Yeah, listen, I said to you a few weeks ago, had decent Cray going forward. I think if you watched all the games that were on TV, I watched the Sheppey game on Friday, Dave, and, you know, they did well. But I think what you normally find with pro sides, after 60 minutes, their fitness comes through. But I didn't think you had that yesterday with Cray, and maybe the disrespect that I think that Charlton showed and putting the side out they did, and then obviously trying to bring the big guns on, I think, you know, sort of matched them. But yeah, I was well pleased for them, and also with Ramsgate, I know, you know, you can't say it's only Woking, because Woking are a decent side, but we had Ben on last week, and what a great victory that was, and for them also now to get a great tie against Wimbledon. What they deserve. But I agree with Stuart as well. I was watching the Horsham game come through live on Friday, and at one point you're sitting thinking they're going to win this, and they are a very, very good side. So as Craig, we had Craig Edwards on the other week, Dave, and we played him in a friendly on Wednesday night as well. We see him there. It does go to show how strong the South East is, and I said that to you with the 3 sides playing. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Rams go and get a result at Wimbledon as well. I know it's sounds ridiculous. Our non-league clubs can go, well, I fancy them getting a result there, but that just shows how strong they are.
I sort of think the last 20 minutes of the Cray Valley game, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what colour Cray Valley played in. I would have said that they were probably the Division One side rather than the South East side. In all fairness, I think it was just they had no more chances in that last 20 minutes, but from what I saw of it anyway. And I thought they were absolutely outstanding, seeing that the old rogue Steve McKim on the TV, making sure he was on there as many times as he could, wasn't he?
Oh, he's had a great weekend, didn't he? I've got to be honest with you. I would swap places with him, not because they're in the FA Cup, but standing 5 yards from Laura Woods with 90-odd minutes would do me the world of good, I'm telling you. With the Cray Valley things as well, Dave, when you look back and go, they played it at the Valley, and in that stadium, which is a big old stadium, which Stuart and I know, it's down the road from both of us. Yeah. You know, the energy, the mental sapping of that as well must have been huge. The adrenaline, the emotion, and that's what you've got to include. If you look at the quality, you know, Charlton's first goal was very good. And obviously, you know, Cray's goal, I know it was an own goal, but it was a great build-up. But, you know, to stick with it for that long, and right at the end, just going to the referee, like, blow the whistle. Like, where did the minutes come from? And things like that. It was mad, but I'm over the moon. And to take a couple of thousand people, and I know a lot of people local went, I thought was brilliant as well.
Ali was there. She sat with her dad, so we'll probably get a chat with her at some point to see how it went. But I think the good thing about it as well was the fact that they scored very early on as well, Charlton, didn't they? And you just thought to yourself, well, here we go. This could be, you know, six or seven here. Do you know what I mean? Quite quickly. So to come back, you know, not only playing the Division One side and coming back from an early one, you know, one goal down, I mean, the credit is just got to go to them, isn't it?
100%. Yeah. And also the draw, Gillingham as well. It's another local game for both of them.
Be a good one. It'd be a good one. Do you reckon if they were to win it, they might put them on the TV for a third time, three in a row? Cray Valley v Gillingham?
They do, though. I don't know if it's changed, but a few years ago, they did follow the lowest side, didn't they? If they kept winning and go through the BBC. I'm not sure if ITV are different, but I think they would.
It's certainly going to be an interesting one. But let's swap to your clubs before time runs away from us completely. And Stuart, if it's all right with you, I'd like to start with Steve. And Steve, from the last time we had a chat and so forth on the show, of course, a lot's changed and maybe not necessarily for the good in some parts and little bits of good in the other part. But explain to us the story of what's happened with Hanworthy, of course, last year in the playoffs. And then, you know, we've had the situation, of course, with the stand early part of the year as well, and then going to play down at Weymouth and so forth. But in your words, I mean, just explain to us what the scenario is and where you sit at the moment.
Well, to be honest, David, I don't think an hour is long enough, if I'm honest. it is bizarre, isn't it? You know, this conversation we had, you know, the expectation that we didn't really have one other than to stay in the Southern League Division One, get to a playoff final. But then the lead up to that with the stand closing, you know, basically getting told that, I was almost at a point where I thought, am I going to leave the club in the hands of the FA? Or are we going to, the only alternative we had to continue the season was to be in as part of a ground share situation. The Southern League, you know, did all they could, but unfortunately the decision for us to not be able to play at home was an FA decision. So we approached a couple of clubs, and bearing in mind there aren't too many Step 4 clubs in our locality, but we were sort of turned down a couple of times. And it was almost like the 11th hour that Weymouth came in and offered us the opportunity to ground share. We were always hopeful that the stand situation was going to be resolved sooner rather than later in terms of, you know, certainly end of September, and we could get back to playing at home. But of course, and I'll come on to that in a minute, that hasn't happened. But we accepted the opportunity to play at Weymouth, for which I'm eternally grateful for. I mean, Weymouth were fantastic, absolutely first class. The difficulty was 30 miles away. We don't get the biggest crowds at Hanworthy as it is. And I think the opening game we had was 125, which is a bit below par. I think the lowest attendance we had was 35. And that wasn't even covering the cost of the officials. So with no other match day income, it was always going to be a bit of a struggle. Obviously, we had to pay to play at Weymouth. We still had to pay to use our own facility because, of course, we had a reserve side playing. So money was just going out hand over fist. And, of course, we weren't really sure up until probably early July whether we would even be at Step 4. So we were late to the party, but off we went. And the unfortunate thing was money was just not enough to sort of facilitate what our requirements were. And I'll be perfectly honest, I think realistically, despite the success we had last year, playoff final, you know, we were probably losing money at the end of last season. So we recognised it was going to be a big, big problem for us. And I think probably my heart ruled my head. We made the decision to continue the season. We probably shouldn't have done. But that's the situation. And of course, the problem with the stand now is that when they actually got the thing demolished, the entire site is contaminated with asbestos. So that's delayed it tremendously. I have to thank the Dorset County FA. They have been criticised in recent months. There's a new CEO there now, Roger Bourne, who's been particularly supportive. And the Dorset FA have actually continued the, I want to use the word purchase, because obviously the burden and the cost of getting rid of this asbestos as it stands at the moment, it will rest with them. We're hopeful that the Football Foundation can assist going forward. But the problem is, of course, we've dropped out of the National League system. And as it stands at the moment, the Football Foundation probably won't cover Step 7, where our, call them reserves, which is now our only team that we have left, is currently playing. So there's a lot of discussion to be had. But I mean, yeah, absolutely gutted from, you know, end of April to beginning of August. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean then that, you know, for, you know, next year then you would start off at step seven? You're not going to, you know, bring in sort of another first team and such to come in at sort of step six, a few other clubs?
Well, yeah, that's been in a situation that I've been informed about by the FA. That is something that we'll probably look towards. So we'd probably continue our current side of the Dorset Premier League. There's a lot of things have to be agreed in order for us to be accepted back into step six, which would be Wessex One. I mean, I think the indication is we would be eligible to go back into the league, which the one below the one we've come out of. But I mean, bearing in mind, we've come out of the Southern League based on finance. We have to, I mean, every penny we had was basically gearing that club, or gearing the club to stay at that level. You know, we have incurred debts. Those debts have to be paid first. But you know, we're on the road to recovery, and I think it's fair to say that we did what we did to save the club. We still have football here on a Saturday. We still have the facility. We still have the party venue. And I think if we carried on the way we were, then I think we would have lost everything. So it really was that serious. But there is the opportunity to look at, with the consent of the Wessex League, to perhaps consider going back into step six next season. Mm.
Steve, we obviously, you know, some people mostly don't know the full extent of your finances, and obviously you're coming up, and you said that, you know, you knew that it could be difficult for you anyway. Couldn't the club have just survived either playing the reserves at step four and obviously coming bottom and going down and starting next year again at step five and going back and starting again? How much would that have crippled you?
I think what we tried to do, realistically, was to reverse all our fixtures in October so that we didn't have the cost of playing at Weymouth. But unfortunately, I think our schedule was, we were looking at going to the likes of Malvern, we're looking at Tavistock, we were looking at Biddeford, and suddenly we were potentially looking at somewhere near about, I don't know, $4,000 for coach travel. Obviously, the players' wages was a massive problem. I think it's... you know, it didn't surprise me. I mean, we had big crowds here with our Vars run 2 years ago. You know, when you've got Wimborne up the road in the same league as us, and I couldn't believe that last year we finished higher than Wimborne, and yet they were getting crowds of 600, 700, 800. You know, we're 4 miles away. We suffer to get crowds of 150. And I think, to be fair, the experience of all our years as a local club playing at sort of more local levels, I think to some degree, we probably administer the club in the same localised way. You know, we certainly have learnt from our experiences of the Southern League. Certainly we knew it would be expensive. And I just think it probably was, we just never able to cater for it in time. As I said, you know, we were late to the party. We weren't sure what league we were going to be playing in at all. But we opted to start, and basically the money was just sort of going down the drain. We just, you know, like any business, if you spend more than you have coming in, then you ain't going to survive. It's as simple as that.
Mm. I mean, do you have, you know, second sort of club from Southern League, of course, in the last couple of years, because Harlow as well happened sort of last year as well, and for different issues. And I mean, Stuart, from sort of a board member's situation in the Isthmian League, of course, do you feel that this is going to be almost the start of many more with financial issues?
Well, I think it's interesting that we went into COVID and there was it was almost like a fait accompli that there would be clubs that go to the wall in COVID. And what's quite interesting is only, you know, it's only Droylsden. I think they were step three at the time in the Northern Premier withdrew. And so we got through COVID with most of the leagues and the clubs intact. But of course, what's happened since is clubs have, you know, the cost bases have risen, you know, hugely, whether it's energy bills, whether it's insurance, yeah, whether it's players' wages, all of that's gone up. But the money coming in hasn't gone up. You're still fighting to get a fan through the door, you know. And the problem is, in most instances, we're community clubs. So we understand, we feel the pain that our fans are feeling. So certainly, you know, we don't put our prices up, but our costs are going up. And, you know, we've seen in the Isthmian League, we've seen East Thurrock, you know, that's they've now gone. And it's a worrying trend, and it's something that needs to be addressed. And we know there's money in the game. We know, you know, you only have to look at the prize money in the FA Cup to see how much some of the bigger, you know, the Premier League clubs are earning. You think, could that be used better in the game? And I think it can.
Do you think, though, Stuart, as well, that I agree with a lot of things you're saying, but do you also think, and I can go over the East Thurrock situation a little bit different, but you say about COVID, but a lot of clubs financially after COVID were better off not playing.
Yeah.
With the grants and the bars and that they got, they were a hell of a lot better off. And a lot of clubs have put that into players' wages. And then all of a sudden they think, right, hold on, say I've gone from step five or step six, now I've got the money to get us promoted to step five or step four or step three. And all of a sudden they've gone, now that money has run out because of what they benefited from COVID. They're like, oh, we haven't got that money anymore to play them players that we were paying them, say, 50 quid instead of tenner. And now they're coming unstuck. And then, like I said, I'm not going with every club, but that did happen. So they had that little bit now. And now, obviously, reality, together with the cost of living gone through the roof, etc. I get that. But now they're sitting there thinking, maybe I shouldn't have maybe spent that extra money that we got from there. We should have maybe been a bit more sensible and panned our way out. Now, I can only go with, obviously, my club, and I know your club as well, and I know how well that you run your club because it's supported own, is that they sort of budget on the means they've got, where I think some might have gone, well, hold on, should we give it a go and see what happens year's time or by Christmas?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think there are some clubs that did that. I mean, certainly if I think of a lot of clubs, and I go back to your first statement, a lot of clubs were much better off not playing football. Simple as that. You know, they were, you know, there was the furlough money coming in. They were able to operate their bars. And so many clubs actually, COVID was in some ways a financial lifesaver for them. But yeah, there are clubs that have thrown money at their squads, without a doubt. And it's interesting because I think some of those clubs are doing it at the expense of investing in their pitches. So I see some, you know, I went and watched a game last week. I'm not going to say it was, but it's a team that it plays in step three, and their pitch had bald patches on. We're in November. We have probably had more rain in the last few months than we've ever seen, and it had bald patches on. Money's not being put into the facilities that enable clubs to compete. That's, to me, that's wrong.
Absolutely, definitely. But Steve, I mean, the future, though, for yourself, this, I mean, going into it, though, I mean, everybody at the club sort of now sort of getting to that situation where they're feeling a little bit better about the situation, maybe looking forward to the future now rather than a little bit, you know, depressed about what's happened.
Yeah, it was a difficult one, wasn't it? I mean, you know as well as I do, you know, losing your entire first team that you've had probably for nearly 5 years, via semi-final, all that sort of stuff, basically give them the opportunity to, you know, to cancel their contracts and walk away, really was quite heartbreaking. But, you know, when I came here for the first game in the Dorset Premier League, I expected to get stoned as I came through the gate. But you know what? The football media across not just the local area, but, you know, we were getting contact from spectators, sports supporters all over the country. And I haven't had a critical word from anybody that's made contact with the club or me personally. You know, I think everyone understands that, you know, at the end of the day, the football club has to come first. And, you know, to have lost the football club, you know, would have been the worst possible scenario. So I think going forward, we have saved that club. We have saved the club. And I think one of the issues we had particularly was, you know, we weren't really set up right for commercial income. There's a guy that's basically come on board with me now. He's been associated with the club for 30 years or more. I used to work with him many years ago, but, you know, what he's like a commercial magnet, not because of the, you know, the attraction of the football club, but he knows so many people in business and football, and people are now just committing to the football club going forward because he's here. In fact, I'm in the club at the moment. We've got a commercial and a social media meeting tonight. And, you know, so it is a positive vibe going forward. Everybody's sort of lifted their jaws off the ground. Yes, it has been a very difficult period. But I'm enthused, and you know, this guy's got me going again. And you know, all right, the results in the Dorset Premier League are fairly irrelevant, but you know, we're already looking now to go in again next season. The one positive, we actually managed to retain the first team manager. He was happy to stay. He's a local guy, and I think realistically, we have an opportunity to start from scratch and look to building a team that might be capable of going into step six next year. So, yeah, there's some positive vibes coming out of it, but my goodness, it was a very, very low position to be in, believe me.
Steve, what happened with the players from the first team that were signed, obviously registered with the Southern League? So, obviously, Stuart, now, East Thurrock, obviously, they had the issues for a few weeks. I know the club went down the pan, so it was a little bit different. But did they have to wait, or were they just registrations cancelled and they could go and sign for another?
Yeah, registrations were cancelled more or less straight away by the league. We obviously made the contract situation for I think we only had about 7 players on contract. We made it very straightforward for them. You know, we cancelled it without any issue. You know, obviously uploaded to the system, notified the FA, and they. We cancelled come out of the league. I think on the Thursday into the Friday, and I think by the Tuesday night, one of the lads actually played for Southern Premier side. So it was all dealt with very quickly. And I say we had no bones to bear or prevent anybody from playing. We just wanted to ensure that, you know, they could go and play football elsewhere. And it not being funny, you know. Looking to next season, we might be trying to sort of see some of them back. So it's always nice that whoever we have come through our doors, that, you know, they always leave under good terms. But it was hard for them because they were hit hard on a training night. They had no idea it was coming. You know, realistically, I had an inkling, but the financial director basically slapped his fist on the table and said, it's got to stop, otherwise we go down. So it was hard for the players to deal with. But as I say, we're all enthused. You know, we're still here. And we start again, simple as that. In footballing terms, we've probably gone back 20 years. You know, I'm in my 51st year here at the club. We've gone back 20 years, but you know what? The club's still here, and that's more important than me.
And listen, mate, we wish you all the best with that as well, going forward as well. But, you know, stay with us. But, I mean, yes, Stuart, I mean, with Lewis, and of course, as you know as well as I do, both clubs that we're involved in, both in European competition in the next couple of weeks. But yours is sooner than ours, and you kick off a European tour, as Enfield are calling it. Was it Wednesday night?
Tomorrow night. Yeah, we've got 31 Norwegians arriving at Gatwick at 8:30 tomorrow morning that I'm going to meet.
How many Haalands have got surnames?
It's a really interesting. So this team, FC Oslo, relatively newly formed. They played this year in the fourth tier of Norwegian football. They won the league, played 22 games. They won 20 of them. And they've got four or five ex-professionals playing for them. So they're a very ambitious club. We saw them play last week against, or the week before against the other team in our league, Beveren, and they were unlucky to lose 1-0. So it's hard because you can't do any real scouting on them. So, you know, we've pieced together bits where we can, and we have no idea how they're going to form. They're bringing over a full squad, so we've not been able to, you know, what we normally do is we'd watch a team that we play at least twice. We've not been able to do that, so we can't, you know, we're going into this in a little bit of an unknown as to how we set up. And I've got the call with the team at 8 o'clock where we're going to go through what we know. But yeah, I mean, we've sold over, I think we sold nearly 850 tickets so far for tomorrow night. Season tickets are allowed for the two European games. So we're hoping for over 1,000 tomorrow night. So it should be good.
Stu, just for people that don't know what you're going on about, because they're sitting there thinking, I'm listening to a non-league show and they're talking about Europe, and I've checked TNT Sports and Man City and all that are playing. So how did this come about?
Okay.
How does obviously this get funded as well? And what beneficial is it to obviously non-league?
Yeah. So the tournament's called the Phoenix Trophy. It's in its third year, and it was set up as a brainchild of a guy in Italy who used to run a team called FC Brera. And what he did was he wanted to get a number of teams around Europe that had, you know, like they were very community focused, social projects, to play in a tournament. And in the first year, there was eight teams. FC United played in it from, they were invited to play in it, and they won it. And then last year there were eight teams again, and it was another decent tournament. And the final last year was in the San Siro, which was just absolutely unbelievable. So they had the semi-finals on the Friday, and then the final, say the third and fourth playoff, and the final on the Friday. And then in the summer, I got approached by the organisers. And by FC United, because they wanted to expand the tournament. They wanted 12 teams this year, so four groups of three. And we were invited to play in it. And I have to, you know, take my hat off to Adrian at FC United, because he's been really, really helpful. So we built a business plan around it. And how it works essentially is we have to pay for hosting the two clubs who come to us. So FC Oslo are coming to us tonight. They pay their travel to the UK. We pay to basically take them from the airport to the hotel, to the ground. We pay for their hotel overnight. We arrange a meal for them with some of our club officials. And then all the gate revenue and all the gate receipts we keep. So we worked out on a basis of an average crowd of about 500 that we'd break even. So we're looking for it'll be a good night tomorrow night. We, as I say, we don't really know what the level is, so it'll be quite interesting. But it's the fans are just so excited about it. The fact that, you know, the away game that we've got in December in to Beveren, which is just outside Antwerp, you know, I would be very unsurprised if we took over 100 fans to that.
So what happens? Did you play one home game and one away, or do you?
No, you play them twice. Yeah, so we're playing Oslo tonight, and it's the end of the season in Oslo. They've already got snow on the ground, so they'll have played their two away games already, and they can't play the home games until March. Whereas we're playing away in Belgium in December, and we'll play the Belgians at home in Feb, and then we'll go to Oslo in probably late March.
And how do you fund the away leg then? Obviously, you're saying you could break even at home, but how's the away leg? Is that sponsored or is that a big expense?
It's effectively, we're funding it from what we'll earn tomorrow night for the two home games. So, you know, we've got out there, we've got a match sponsor, we've got a program sponsor. We've got all those little bits that will help as well. But it is through what we can bring in through the gate. That's what funds it.
But and other teams there, obviously, we mentioned Dave, and I'm not sure what Dave's other teams are. He's got about 20. So, and to be fair, after watching Arsenal at the weekend, they should be in it. But obviously, Enfield Town's one of them.
Yeah, so we've got Enfield, FC United and Lewis from England. There's a team called, I think it's Llanhalat Major from Wales. There's a team from Paris, team from Oslo, team from Copenhagen, who are the reigning champions, FC Schold. I believe FC United are playing in Krakow tonight. And one of the other really great things about the tournament is there's only ever one game on a particular night, and they stream it on their YouTube channel. So on the Fenix Trophy now, you could go on and you could watch FC United playing live.
Didn't know that. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know. I didn't know. But I know we've got the champions and we've got the Welsh side, so in our group. Yeah.
They haven't asked you to commentate, Dave, no?
No. And what's that about?
Really? The home leg, you should find out about that, Dave, because
I will be doing the home leg.
And the away leg, they certainly said to us, they encouraged us to take somebody with us to the away games so that we can have dual commentary. I'm just seeing if I can find out the score. But yes, great tournament. We are going into the unknown, so to speak. But I'm sure our only experience of playing like similar games to this, we've played Guernsey twice, so we know what that's like. It's currently 0-0. 0-0 in Krakow. Yeah.
When do you organise the fixtures then, Stuart? Just say, for instance, you as Quay Valley or you as Ramsgate that's still in the FA Cup. You're in the FA Cup. You still would you go to Europe in the same week, or can you just sort of?
I have to say the hardest bit of this has been arranging the logistics around fixtures. That was really, really tough because you have to take into consideration cup replays. So the reason, I had to contact the FA probably 2 months ago to try and find out, on the off chance, when was the first round proper replays going to be? So would they be 4 days after the game, or would they be a week and a half? So it was found out it was a week and a half, and we were quite fortunate. We had a good cut run. We lost in the third qualifying round to Aldershot. But even then, I was worried that if we won, the fourth qualifying round. If we won, then it would put pressure on that European game because we would be coming off the back of the FA Cup. So you have to be mindful of that. Obviously, we're playing a team from Oslo who their season's finished. So we couldn't really expect them to be playing us in December or January, A, because they might not be able to travel, but B, because they might not have any players. Mm. It's been a negotiation. We had to get official sanction from the FA. So that took a little while. But yeah, it's a good experience. And what I hope is that over the next couple of years, if this is a success, then more teams can get involved. I think it's a great opportunity, and so the fans just can't wait for it.
Mm. Nah, it sounds brilliant. And have you had any issue with players getting time off, or are they just arm off?
No, it's been fine. I think it helps that we've got that one away game before Christmas and one away after, so that, if they're working, a lot of their annual leave years end at the end of this year. But we anticipate taking a full squad to Belgium in next month.
Yeah, they obviously all got passports then.
That was the first question we asked. It was, how many of you haven't got passports?
How many times has Tony come to do a bit of scouting over in Oslo?
Well, funny enough, he did talk about going to the game in Beveren last week, and I pointed out that according to his contract, we only pay mileage, so he'd have to drive there. He wasn't keen on that.
Okay, can I ask you one question? Because it is one question that Keith's going to groan at me the minute I mention it. But there's the one question I would love to ask you is what is the difference this year from last year with your ladies' side? Because the ladies' side last year was doing really, really well. This year, they've had a bit of a tough start in the championship. Has there been a lot of player change on that?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I go back to something I said earlier about, you know, this wage inflation. So we're seeing wage inflation in the men's game. And some of the players that, you know, maybe have cost a couple of hundred quid a week, now they want, you know, 10, 15% more. In the women's game, it is markedly harder to bring players. Wage inflation's gone up. Most players have agents. The players all have to be contracted as well. And the bigger clubs, so the likes of a Birmingham or a Sunderland in our league, they're offering two-year contracts. We can't, you know, financially, we can't do that. That's too much of a risk at the moment for us. So consequently, we've had a really high turnover of players. We lack as most teams do in our league, you lack a centre forward. You lack someone who can score you 15 goals. You know, you put that in, bit of bad luck. The team aren't playing badly. They played really well on Friday night, got undone by a really harsh penalty decision in injury time. But it's hard to turn it around because you can't just, like in the men's game at the moment, you know, if we were struggling and we had an injury to Tommy Wood up front, we could go and get another player. Can't do that in the women's game because they're all contracted. So you effectively have to build your
squad. And also, Stuart, sorry to interrupt, but obviously with Tony's team, there's a lot more sort of men at that level available. Obviously, the women, there's not, because you're just handpicked for, well, it's either your level or what's it, there's 12 teams, isn't there, or 11 teams. And then if they were better, they would play in the higher level.
Yes. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. There's less players available. You know, the fact that where we play as well, you know, we're quite a long way from like a major city. I know there's Brighton just down the road, but the team train 5 days a week. So they need to be local as well. And so all of those things sort of help. I have absolute faith that they'll get out of the situation. So they're playing well. They're just not taking the chances, not scoring goals. Big win 2 weeks ago against Watford that sort of brought Watford into the occasion. But the worrying thing is that we look below where we are and you've got Newcastle who are playing St James's Park in front of tens of thousands. Burnley that are owned by, you know, an ex-NFL player. You know, so you've got those two teams chomping at the bit behind you. And so it's tough, but unless you're prepared to push yourself, you're not going to improve.
And of course, if they open it up like they did before, you've got that sort of big one sitting there as well, sort of almost waiting to come across in Wrexham as well.
Correct. Absolutely.
We're still looking for a Hollywood actor on the south coast. We've never found one.
You got Harry Redknapp down there. What else do you
need? Yeah, he's always here with his grandson, but he don't put his hand in his pocket.
Sure, I'm not going to bum you up, but we spoke. Obviously, I've known you for quite a while, and obviously Dave sort of mentioned that obviously your reign as chairman has either come to an end or coming to an end this year. Just obviously looking back on it, you know, when you first took over, you know, Lewis were maybe struggling, let's just say, financially and where they were in the league. Mm. And now, if you look at it, you know, we've been talking to you for 15 minutes. Stephen's mostly sitting here going, what club is this? Because obviously, you're fan owned, you're talking about getting 850 people in Europe tomorrow. Your women are full-time. You know, in that space of time, and I know you're going to say it's not just you, but how far have your football club come?
Well, funny enough, when I took over, we were at step two.
Oh, whoops. Yeah.
In my reign, we've been relegated twice and only promoted once. Got to one cup final, lost 5-0. No, I think there's a couple of things. We've got a fantastic group of volunteers and staff. People really, really put the effort in. And we've had a couple of people within the club that understand the power of marketing and media. And so they have, we've really used that to try and get the Lewis message across. That's really helped us with bringing in some good sponsors. So that, you know, our main club sponsors is Lyle and Scott, Zero, the accounting people, Curve, Sum Up. So, you know, quite big names, and, you know, and they support the club fantastically.
I mean, I've got to say, it's Dave, you've been there, and I don't suppose you have, Stephen, but your ground is one of my favourite grounds actually to go to, and not because it's just got that feeling when you walk in there of, wow, this is a proper, what you, I wouldn't even say non-league ground, because I could go back maybe years where sort of some of the old pro clubs had grounds like yours, where, you know, it's called the Dripping Pan, it's sunken, it's just got that atmosphere there, isn't it?
Yeah, we're very proud of it, and we're always looking. Obviously, we're quite restricted by what we can do. You know, the ground is, we've been playing there since 1885. It's surrounded by a flint wall that's 400 or 500 years old. So we're really restricted as to what we can do. So we concentrate on the bits that we can improve. So last year we got the FA grant to put down the hybrid pitch, which has been brilliant for us. And then, you know, in the summer we saw an opportunity to get the seats from Wembley. So Wembley were replacing all of their executive seats, and they were available. These seats that normally cost like 700-800 quid each, they were throwing them away. And they said, as long as you can get air and as long as you can put them in a minibus and take them, you can have them. So we replaced all 500 seats in our main stand. So our main stand now is cushioned seats with armrests, cup holders, the whole lot. And they look magnificent. It's just all red. And it costs us nothing. And our volunteers installed them. So we're lucky. We're lucky. And, you know, we've got some really good, hardworking staff as well, and that really helps us.
You just mentioned the hybrid pitch again. For people that don't know, explain what that is.
Hybrid pitch
it's not a battery, is it? With a petrol that tops up your centre forwards running out of energy.
No. So what a hybrid pitch is effectively it's a mesh of artificial grass that you put down, and then you plant specific grass seed. And what the grass seed does, the grass seed grows. Yeah. And it entwines with the plastic, and so the pitch is essentially 90% grass, 10% plastic. And then what it does is you cut it to the same level every single time. It's completely flat, irrigated, but it's, you know, if you look at, like, for example, Charlton Athletic last night, they had their pitch done at the same time as ours. It's more resilient to the weather, but a great playing surface. And we're a team that play on the ground. So we pass as David's Enfield felt the full force of 2 weeks ago, where I don't think they had a shot on goal and we won 4-0 with 90% or 80% possession. It suits the way we play. And that's been a big difference as well.
What does that do at the end of the year then, Stuart, for your renovations?
So last year, at the end of last season, we took the top surface off and we reseeded it. I believe we don't have to do that for another 2 years. So it's just maintenance. And we're, again, possibly one of our best signings this season is Simon Rudkins came across from Hastings as chief groundsman, and Simon also looks after the pitch at Wembley.
Yeah,
I mean, one thing as well to ask you, I mean, sort of as a funny sort of last question before we move on to Mousel, but tell us a little bit about how the video, that famous video, came about.
What, the Tony Russell one?
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, most people know Tony. you know, Tony's a shy and retiring guy. when we were in discussions about him and Joe Vines joining Lewis, Tony suggested that we should do something really different, and he came up with this idea of the video, and we scripted it in about an hour, and fortunately we had one of our media people at the ground on the day, so they filmed it. We filmed it in two takes. It was very difficult to keep a straight face, but we just wanted to do something different. And you know, it was a surprise. I don't think many people knew that Tony was going to join us. We'd actually interviewed five or six other people. We'd came close with someone else before Tony reached out and said, "Would you be interested in the conversation?" And yes, and you know, some people know this, some people not. But you know, the funny story is, Tony lives on the same road as me here because I'm in Southeast London, and he's like a 3-minute walk away from me. So I knew him anyway. And yeah, the video's still out there. Still not embarrassed. Not too embarrassed anyway.
It's a great video, isn't it, Keith?
Yeah, no, it is, yeah.
It's one of those sort of classic non-league videos, isn't it? But I've said it before. I've said it to Enfield. I've said it to a few others. I said, look, you know, why do we not use that sort of technology a lot more? You know, why do we not sort of like when a player's been, you know, what's the name, you know, coming in, signed, why do we not do sort of like sort of the old sort of this is your life type videos? Do you know what I mean? So you can't see who they are and then you flick it up and stuff like that. And I'm just quite surprised it's not used a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we just want to try and do, always try and do something different, try and keep people amused, keep them surprised. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen, mate, we wish you all the very, very best tomorrow night and keeping the British end up tomorrow. But hopefully we can help out as well when we get two weeks' time. But, but Brian, by popular demand, people said they wanted you back.
Extremely humbled once again to be in the pecking order of Andrew's shoes. Thank you. Lovely to see you again. Thank you for the invite.
No problems at all. And everybody that's, of course, on the pack with us tonight, and of course, you've got Stuart Fuller, who's just to your left, as I can see, maybe to your right on your screen. And, of course, above you is obviously Steve, chairman of Hamworthy as well. And, of course, this is Brian from Mousel, Southern
South. Yeah, good evening, fellas.
Evening.
Good evening.
So a week off this week then, Brian?
Sorry?
You had a week off this week?
Well, no, well, week off. We never have a week off down here in Mousel. The football team, the team has had a week. Well, no, they've not had a week off, actually. They've been very busy.
The game got called off this weekend.
Well, yes, it got called off. It got called off because of the horrendous weather we've had down here, and no doubt you've had the backlash of it up farther up country. But yes, it was called off on the Friday evening. Obviously, we have to give... it was cribs. We have to give them time, of course. It's no point coming down here. We fell for that one once when we went away and got to Exeter on our way to Bristol, and it was called off, and it's not nice, is it? But yes, it was called off, but the team took the opportunity up. Jake Ash, our manager, took the opportunity up to have them as a training session because, of course, these boys are with their families. The families expect them playing football. If they're not playing football, it's a good opportunity to utilise that time, I suppose. And they were on the training pitch, and they did a good PR exercise as well. They visited to one of our major sponsors, which is a Verdant Brewery. They went to the brewery after the training session.
I saw them.
And had a wonderful guided tour around the brewery and had a meal after. So it was a very positive day for them. So they enjoyed that. Yes, that was called off the week before. We didn't have a too good a week, as I'm sure you know, up at Melksham, I'm sorry, again up in Bristol. I think we'll probably buy a house up there and we'll all live up there. We're up there around that area. So we spend more time up there than with our families down here. Up in Melksham, that was a horrendous one. The journey was very, very long. Lots of roadworks, not so much holiday traffic, but roadworks on the 303 going up. It meant we got there just about an hour and 10 minutes before kickoff, which is certainly not what Jake and the deputy manager, like they're down to the minutes, minutes getting ready, really in sequence sort of thing. So that didn't start.
I went off to Bridgewater at the weekend for the carnival. And as I was, as we were going up towards Bridgewater, she went past Cribs on the Friday, and I literally turned around to the wife and said, what a distance that is from where they are. And I said, Mousel at the weekend. But so it's quite, I don't know if Stuart knows the sort of like where they are, and the most westernly club in the country, Stuart Mousel. And, mm-hmm. And literally, you know, when you see how far they've got to travel, and then you listen to what Steve said earlier on as well with, you know, finances and stuff like that as well. That's, you know, that Cribs one, I actually did tap it on my phone and to see how far it was about 4.5 hours from where we were to get to, to literally get there. It was just incredible distances that people have got to travel in that Southern League South Division. And you can see where Steve now, it puts more meat onto sort of Steve's bones about what you were saying financially as well, when you see the distance that some of these teams have to travel.
Of course. I mean, say we've got 191 miles to do this coming Saturday up to, where is it we're going, up to Wimborne. So you're talking about 191 miles, but as I said to you before, you know, we've really got used to it now. We've got used to this travelling. I'm going to say we've entered it. And like, again, I've said before, our nearest team in the league to us, our local derby, is 90 miles away, which is in Devon. It's not even in Cornwall. But like I've said before, we're used to it. We're up for it.
I think our issue today was the fact that we were looking to possibly go to Mousel in either November or December Tuesday night. You know, you cost us sort of 1,200 quid with two drivers. It's just, and that was the problem that obviously all these clubs face in the Southwest Division One.
Yeah.
Two drivers, that's right. We had two drivers last week. It's hours, they're hours. You know, we even was coming back home one time a few weeks ago, can't remember where from. And the drivers had to stop at St. Austell. We were late, and it was about 1:20 in the morning on the Sunday morning. And he had to ring the depot down in Truro to get another driver out of bed and to come up and fulfil the obligation. Crazy.
Well, we've just got something that's dropped down on your actual Twitter feed or X feed or whichever you want to call it these days. And it's something that I did have a conversation with Kevin a couple of weeks ago, Kevin Bishop, and said, it just happens that it's actually dropped while we're on the show, so we'll read it out. And he did sort of give me a sort of like a heads up that it was coming. And of course, he's just said it out here. He says, keep your eyes peeled on our social media for news about our crowdfunder. We're launching a tool to build a road that will ease the congestion in the village and open up new opportunities for the clubhouse. And that goes live on Thursday. So anybody that wants to maybe donate and help out Mousel there, that goes live on Thursday.
So, David, just goes to show that how football's different. A GoFundMe page for a road so they can get to the ground easier. Wow. Unbelievable. Well,
those that have been down here, it's a joke. I mean, to say there's lots of kids that are against it actually, because when they come down with their parents, they think of it as the adventure coming down here, because we don't get the Big Dippers and stuff down here like you up country, and it's something unique for the kids to come down here and drive up the lane when the cars are bumping up and down. Well, it's quite unique to them. It's quite unique. But yes, I'm sure lots of the we're actually expecting lots of our teams that are playing in this league and in cups and what have you that come down to visit us. They'll be quite pleased about it, I should think. And an incentive for them to participate in it would be, of course, if we get the new road in, it'll cost them less on travelling down for tyre wearage and suspension units and stuff. There's a bonus for them.
If you've not been down, I don't know, I'm not sure if Steve's been to Mousel, but or whatever, but what Brian's actually said about is, if you've got something like a Fiat 500 or maybe one of the old fashioned minis or something, you probably won't come back with your car, because the holes in the potholes are not potholes. They're literally like caves. You know, you're driving for almost, they're so deep when you go into the car park. It is incredible. But so that's
for the last couple of days, it would have been handy if you'd had a boat. It's a river. Anyhow, yes, the crowdfunding, we're looking forward to that. And it's a necessity now. We have planning permission for the road, and the road is ours. We pull the pile of trees down. We've had the friends of the trees and the tree huggers. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Friends of the trees and friends of the worms up there to inspect it all. We just need the funds now. So actually, we need about £100,000. So we're working very, very hard on local businesses down this end. And, of course, visit businesses all over, because there's Cornishmen working and living all over the country now. So, you know, it's open from this Thursday. Please have a look on our website.
Okay, he's going to say something.
No, I wasn't. I was just sitting there thinking, oh, you keep going on about how, you know, lovely when you went down there. And I was thinking, oh, maybe in the summer, shall I pop down? And I'm sitting there thinking, I might give that a miss.
You never get down there in the summer.
I'll be honest with you. If you get the chance to go down there, it's one ground shoot. I mean, I know you love your travelling, going to different games, but it is, as I've said from day one, it's probably one of the most picturesque grounds you're ever likely to go to. It's such a lovely ground, and as I keep saying all the time, when everybody comes on, you know, the people there are probably some of the nicest sets of people as well when you go in there to actually to go down there. But it's going to be interesting, though, Brian, because, as you just said, you've got the crowdfunder going, because, and I know Keith's heard this as well before, but when you've been on, and Andrew's been on, and your son's been on as well, when we've had that situation where it's like, you know, you're looking for £100,000 to get to build the road, and you can actually almost see the road that they're going to link it up to from the ground. And then on top of that, of course, you've still got, which of course Stuart will know a lot about, being on the committee of the Isthmian League as well, is you've still got all the issues as well, and trying to get the money together for the bigger changing rooms, the 100-seater stand, the referees' rooms, the clubhouse, et cetera. And I think, you know, Steve's probably sitting up in that top corner as well, pulling his hair out, thinking, Struve, how much have they got to find? But it is that sort of scenario where there's a heck of a lot of money that's got to be found in a very, very short space of time.
Yes, it is. And it was very interesting. Just before I came on, then I got a viewing of our friend there mentioned about how they acquired all those seats for in the stand. That'd be very interesting if he's got a few left over, sort of thing. He's probably
putting them in. The old ones left over, yeah.
There was also a guy last time, a couple of weeks ago, I was on with you. I think he was down in Dover, and he mentioned about containers. I must get Andrew to follow that one up as well, because we in the short term we'll probably need some of those sorting out. But yes, it is a big thing, but we're on with it. All the plans are being drawn up for them, and we're quite confident that we'll be meeting up with the schedules that we have to adhere to.
Listen, Brian, we wish you all the best with that, and of course with Kevin as well, and of course you've got one of the best press guys in the business down there, of course, with Mr. Kevin Bishop as well.
He's brilliant, Kevin. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely outstanding. But keeps looking at me with daggers, so it means it must be time to kick off down at Chelsea at the Bridge. So it's about time we sort of called it a day.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock kickoff, I believe. I'm an Arsenal fan, but I should be shouting for Chelsea tonight, obviously.
Brian, I knew there was a reason why I loved you, mate. And you're a man. In all fairness, we wish all the best. So, Steve, we wish you all the very best with Hanworthy as well. We really hope to see you back at Step 4 as soon as you possibly can get back up there, mate. We'll hope you keep in touch. Stuart, fantastic speaking to you again. Wish you all the best with the Isthmian League stuff that you do. And, of course, also Europe and up in the handle, Tony Russell, week in, week out. We give you all the best with that one for a start. But we wish all Lewis all the best. And, of course, the ladies as well. Being a massive ladies football fan, I really do hope they manage to move their way up that table and in the future. And, of course, Brian, brilliant having you on again, sir. And we'll hopefully get you back on again very, very soon. And, of course, Keith, massive thank you. And again, massive congratulations to everybody at Phoenix with their win as well on Saturday. We'll be back next week when we've got a really old friend coming on the show next week. And he has been through his own sort of, he's had a bad time with illness of late. But he's had a massive shot in the arm for him and his football club. Of course, they played their first game in their own home for, well, he'll probably tell us how many years, but a long, long time, of course, in Steve Gardner, the chairman of Romford Football Club. So he will be on with a few of the board and a few of his fans next week, joining me and Keith next week in the Repost Non-League Show. Look forward to that. We look forward to, of course, going back down the mouse hole again next week as well with either Brian or Andrew, if he's back from wherever he's off to this week, and we'll speak to them next week. But from everybody here tonight, massive thank you, and we'll see you all again soon. Good night.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.